Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon and happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast today. The horrific barrage of tornadoes over the weekend is the perfect euphemism for America's state of emergency. Tornadoes killed 4 people in Oklahoma and left thousands without power on Sunday after a destructive outbreak of severe weather flattened buildings in the heart of one rural town and injured at least 100 people across the state. More than 20,000 people were still without electricity hours after tornadoes began late Saturday night. The destruction was extensive in Sulphur, a town of about 5,000 people, where a tornado crumpled many downtown buildings, tossed cars and buses, and sheared the roofs off of houses across a 15-block radius. Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt said during a visit to the hard-hit town, "You just can't believe the destruction. It seems like every business downtown has been destroyed. The condition of Oklahoma is very much the condition of our entire nation, a true end-time state of emergency." Job chapter 38, verses 22 and 23. "Hast thou entered into the treasures of the snow? Or hast thou seen the treasures of the hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war?" The Midwest took a severe hit this weekend with tornadoes, hailstorms, and thunderstorms. Many NTEBers were in the direct path of those storms, and it was a terrifying time. 2024 is an election year, and another storm is brewing right now, which threatens to inflict great damage on our nation, just as it did last time it happened in 2020. Colleges and universities are shutting down for the summer, and many graduation ceremonies have already been canceled. This storm is a pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian, and anti-Israel storm, and it is a tremendous excuse for the anarchist factions that plague America to once again storm our streets, burning down buildings, and killing innocent people. America is a nation on the brink, and it will only take just another little end times push to send it flying over the edge. In other news, Joe Biden is convinced that he has Donald Trump on the ropes and packing for prison. Will his plan succeed? All this and more on today's Prophecy News Podcast. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered here today. And Lord, we pray for lost souls today. And what a blessing it is that we get to pray for people, Father God, that we get to lift up the lost in our own family, the lost people around us, and all the people that you put in our path. And today we pray for Greg and Melissa Price, Glenn Clark, in Jeanette's family, Cheyenne, Bridget, Tony, Dion, Samuel, Matthew, and 2 great grandbabies, Trista, Tara, and Ted, Trevor, Derek, Adam, Roland, Carrier, and their families, my 3 brothers, John, Jimmy, and David, niece Melissa, and daughter Christy, Jesse and his mom, Rachel's dad, Ralph, unsaved Catholic family members in the Bolton family, Jordan Shapiro, David Peck, and Rita in Colorado is praying for her son Dan to get saved. People who need a healing today: Lori Ann's mom Joyce, battling cancer and chemo. Cher, my granddaughter Cheyenne, she is waiting to see a neurologist. Steve, my granddaughter's husband Austin, diagnosed with a type of bone cancer, could possibly lose his leg. Amber, for a complete healing and peace. Angela, please pray for my sister-in-law, Gail, who has stage 4 kidney disease and on dialysis. Please pray for my brother, Larry, to get saved. Linda's sister, Marianne, has rheumatoid arthritis. Juanita, Please pray for my daughter, Madison, battling depression, and unsaved family members with addiction. Also, please pray for my anxiety. Paul Caulfield, he's been getting death threats, and he's asking for prayers of protection. Gail has an unspoken. The Lord knows the need. Stephanie, her husband Andy is battling the bottle, and he needs to get saved. Krista, battling breast cancer. Gail, please pray for Katie. She needs a liver transplant. Patricia Alliston's husband, Ron, has cancer. Paul Caulfield has type 1 sugar diabetes. Rob's friend Mike has MS. Ida Karulik has cancer. Stacy going through a divorce and has children. Berta and Mike Crabb have health issues. Linda Benjamin would like prayer for her overall health and memory problems. Wayne has cancer. Chaplain Billy Crenshaw has staph infection that is attacking his knee replacement surgery, had to be reopened and cleaned out. Will be undergoing physical therapy for several weeks. Please pray for Chaplain Billy. Ladies who are expecting, Char's daughter Miranda, Stephanie Juliana, Sarah Ann Severson, Spray of Sunshine, her son and girlfriend are expecting twins. Jose and Anna De La Rosa are expecting their third child. And Jordan P. gave birth to little baby Megan, who was a 29-week-old preemie. And we are praying for her continued health and weight gain. So please pray for little baby Megan. Jeanette says, talking about the tornadoes and all those things, please pray for the people in the affected tornado regions. And today is Berta's birthday, and we're going to wish Berta a very happy NTEB birthday. Heavenly Father, we come before you today and ask for your blessing on this program. For all these prayers, we ask you to work and move as only you can. And Father God, there are people who need a healing today. There are people who need you today to get in the midst of their situation and to do something. Lord, we confess our dependence upon you. We can't do it. We need you to do it. You are our advocate. You are our great physician. You are our healer. You are our Savior. And we come to you with all these prayers, large and small, and ask you to work and move as only you can. And we commit this time to you and all these prayers in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's take a moment and wish Berta a very happy NTEB birthday. Her birthday is tomorrow, but we're going to wish her a very happy NTEB birthday today.
It's the day that you were born. It's the day your mama brought you home. It's a special day. Let us celebrate. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. Happy birthday. I'm going to celebrate with you. Happy birthday.
And a very happy NTEB birthday to Berta. Berta and Mike Crabb, you are on our prayer list for a healing, and we hope that the two of you feel much better soon. All right, let's get into the program today. We got so much to talk about. There's so much going on. People have been messaging me from all over the country today about the tornadoes that have been going through the Midwest, specifically through Oklahoma and it was bad. It was really, really bad.
At least four people were killed in Oklahoma when several tornadoes ripped through communities in the middle of the night. Putting you a live look now from our Fox 4 photojournalist Chase Boyer. Some of the devastation you see there in Sulphur, Oklahoma. This is about 85 miles southeast of Oklahoma City, and you can see just the extent of the damage in the downtown area there. Cleanup workers continuing to work through that area, and a lot of people still assessing the damage as there is brick scattered, roofs caved in, entire buildings there destroyed. One of the tornadoes caused power lines to fall onto I-35, leading to a complete shutdown of the interstate in southern Oklahoma. Cars lined the highway for miles, stuck with nowhere to go. The storms left a trail of devastation in its wake. Many Oklahomans having to find a new place to stay while the cleanup begins. Fox 4's Amelia Jones is in studio now with a look at the damage. Amelia.
Blake, those images hard to look at from our photojournalist Chase there in Sulphur. Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt said the damage there is some of the worst he's seen during his time in office. As you mentioned, at least four people were killed and dozens more were injured in this tornado outbreak. Oklahoma Emergency Management says the main focus today is making sure people have what they need.
Saturday night's storms left behind a large trail of damage in southern Oklahoma. Several tornado warnings were issued late Saturday night into early Sunday morning. Oklahoma Governor Kevin Stitt issued a state of emergency in 12 counties.
The loss of life is the most precious thing, and that is what weighs so heavy on my heart this morning. Everything else can be rebuilt. But we can't restore life in the wonderful Oklahomans that we've lost in this storm.
Sunday, the governor, along with the state's emergency management team, surveyed the damage in Sulphur, one of the hardest hit areas.
What I saw downtown Sulphur, it's unbelievable.
Buildings were reduced to rubble. Businesses like Gary Minch's furniture store were gone overnight.
It's heartbreaking. So last night I was in the cellar and I had this moment where I looked across from me and I see my kids and my wife and I know everyone's safe and okay. But even so, like, it's hurting because I knew what was happening on the other end of town.
Minch showed our Fox 4 crew the damage inside the store.
Pretty much all of it's ruined. And it sucks because it looks salvageable, but it's really not.
And what's left of the warehouse.
And as you can tell, man, there's nothing left.
He's owned JJ's Furniture for almost 25 years and is trying to remain positive.
It's just a process, and I'm having to take it minute by minute.
Crews on the ground are working to clear the debris and assess damage.
So, four people in Oklahoma were killed by these tornadoes. Absolutely horrific, and hundreds of millions of dollars worth of damage all through the Midwest. This was the scene on the ground as the tornado wedge moved through Iowa.
Talk to you in just a little bit. We got to get into this. This is a massive wedge tornado that's just taken over an entire interstate. I've never seen anything like this. We're going to come back, check with you. I know you're chasing this as well. And there has been, sadly, major damage out of this. And so we'll check in with you. Thank you for all the hard work. We got to get into this team and look at this. If we can, yeah, let's start telestrating over and showing you Brett Adair. This is now in Harlan, Iowa. We're showing you that city. It was just to the west of there. Look at this. This thing right here that you're witnessing in front of you is a tornado. I know it's tough to even fathom. While talking to Corey, look at in the foreground, the wind speed. You see this SUV that's kicking up the water? If we can drop the banner team real quickly. Destructive tornado is tearing through Nebraska. Look at how fast the wind is spinning that off the road. That's speaking of the violent nature this far removed from the tornado. Imagine being in that tornado, though. And what's ahead of this?
Steve, look at that tree ahead of that car and how it's leaning.
It's just snapped, right, to the side. Ken, I don't know even how to talk about this right now. We're looking at this on telly. This right here is showing you how wide. So it goes from here to here. All of this in between is a tornado, a wedge tornado that is coming down as of right now. And as we zoom in, look at this. This is showing you that inflow and how the wind is just getting sucked in like a vacuum. I mean, I've never seen anything this large before. And it's tough to fathom that this would be classified as a tornado. I mean, it's much larger. You think I mean, when we had this estimated before, 3 to 4 miles, you can tell the traffic has stopped here. Everybody has been forced to stop. They do not want to get any closer to this because of the intensity of the wind. Notice the debris right here. This is why they're stopping, is because the debris that this has already caused, and it's raking it across the road and spitting it through. I want you to look right in here. This is in the mid-levels of the atmosphere, just showing you how fast the wind is wrapping around and circulating around this. Again, you can witness as this SUV pulls ahead, see how fast the wind is carrying that water off of the roads? Everybody at home, you may not be able to fathom a tornado, but you can fathom what it's been like to drive after rain is pushed through, and the water usually spits up into your windshield. You don't even have to use the windshield because the wind's carrying it away. And we are talking about how massive a distance away we are from this event. Can we bring up the radar? Can you measure, Sam, I see you have Brett there. Can you measure how far away he is from the tornado? So we can talk about how fast the wind is from this distance away. Now look in the foreground here. This is where you're starting to worry about potential damage. You have this tree that no longer has any type of branches or leaves. If you look at the trees around it, it does, which means this got sucked away and ripped apart as this tornado came through. They're still blowing, even though it's moving off into the distance.
So as you can see, these tornadoes are causing a huge, huge, huge problem. And it's all through the Midwest. By some reports, 83 tornadoes and twisters went through the area. Take a listen to this.
For 3 straight days, severe weather has stormed across our country, leaving behind a path of destruction across the South, Plains, and the Midwest. The storm spawning dozens of tornadoes.
In Oklahoma, really seeing the worst of the damage. The state's governor there declaring a state of emergency. Fox Weather's Brandi Campbell, she joins us live from Sulphur, Oklahoma this morning. Unfortunately, Brandi, I know this storm was deadly for that area, too.
Yeah, and just looking at the damage behind me, guys, you can see this was not just a scary weekend of severe weather and tornadoes, but it was dangerous. We're actually here in the downtown area of Sulphur, Oklahoma, where the downtown area, I mean, really has been destroyed. Let's go ahead and take a look around. Right here, you can see a rooftop collapsed onto a warehouse. Inside, they have furniture. Behind this warehouse, you can't see the walls anymore. They've been collapsed. The bricks are now on the ground, but you can see the support beams at the top. There's a wall on the right side, but just beyond that, it's just piles of wood, bricks, blown out windows, missing walls, missing roofs. Most of these buildings, they look like they are beyond repair. Some people have said they're wondering if they're going to be able to save this downtown or, you know, rebuild. I'm sure a lot of questions going forward when it comes to that. Now, we also have some more videos showing just throughout the downtown area as we are limited to what we can walk into for safety reasons. What we do know, I will say, as far as the danger aspect of this, it has taken 4 lives. One person was killed here in Sulphur inside of a bar where several people were trapped and had to get rescued. 2 more lives were taken in Holdenville, one being a 4-month-old baby, a 4th person killed on I-35 near Marietta. The damage expands across 12 counties here in Oklahoma. The National Weather Service seeing evidence of the strongest tornadoes here and in Marietta, saying it was at least an EF3, but those surveys, they're ongoing. Regardless, the damage here is extensive, changing lives in an instant for residents and business owners. Take a listen.
Tears. Devastated.
Tears. It was our livelihood, retirement. We felt lost because it doesn't look recognizable at all.
You know, when you see it, how do you recover from this, you know? See it on TV, other places, and you feel bad for those people, but you really don't know it till it hits you.
And I'm sure a lot of people at home can relate to that. You see it on the news and you think it won't happen to me. But as we're seeing this weekend, so many people in the Midwest and here in the Plains have been impacted. Two very serious, dangerous days, mainly Friday and Saturday. I do want to just point out the fact that it was a very foggy morning. Things are finally starting to clear up. But the first thing you notice when you come out here, you smell wood from all of the trees that have been snapped. Again, you see downtown blocked off. Residential areas, they have been impacted deeply as well. One thing we're seeing just next to us is this business. It's still mostly standing, but the roof is caved in, and now we're...
So I'm just going to put her on hold for a second. NTEB-er Allen in Eufaula, Oklahoma, says, "It went right by our house. The tail went back up before it got to our little neighborhood. Our God is mighty and mighty to save. Thank you, Jesus, for protecting us all." And if you're looking in the chat room right now and you see that massive cyclone tornado photo that I just posted, that was sent to me by Alan. And that's what he saw when he looked out his window. And unbelievable destruction and devastation. Please put the people of the Midwest, of Nebraska, Iowa, especially Oklahoma, that seems to be the bulk and the brunt of the damage. Please keep all these people in your prayers today, that God would send in Christian workers and helpers, and that God would send in people with food and clothing and shelter, and of course, the gospel. And it is at times like these, we have given out many, many thousands of Bibles to regions in America that have been impacted by hurricanes and storms and floods and tornadoes. That is one of the best times to reach people with the gospel. So please pray for Alan and Kim and his family, for everybody else who was impacted by this. I know Jeanette was saying that a lot of branches were down in high winds by where she lives. And just pray for everybody in the Midwest today, that God would just send in workers and helpers, because these people sure do need it. Jeff Ward says, "My wife is having surgery at the University of Kentucky Hospital today. Just wanted to pop in and say hello while I am waiting." So please pray for Jeff Ward's wife having surgery at the hospital today. And Andrea Lacey, she has to go for a stress test today, and she has a hernia operation scheduled for the 20th of May. So please pray for all of these things, and please pray that the Lord would work and move and just get in the middle of each and every one of those situations. Now, everybody can look at a tornado or a cyclone or a hailstorm or a thunderstorm or an earthquake, and you can see with your eyes how bad that is. But there are some types of storms that aren't so readily apparent to the naked eye. And there's a number of different types of storms. Let's call them end time storms. There's a number of things that are happening now that are just, you know, it's bad. It's scary bad. RFK Jr. is running for president as an independent. He has zero chance of doing anything other than stealing the votes from either Trump or Biden. RFK cannot and will not be elected, or anything even close to it, on an independent ticket. Everybody knows that if you run as an independent, you are simply seeking to spoil somebody else's chances of actually becoming president. Now, Ben Shapiro sat down with RFK Jr. to talk with him about his view on abortion. And what RFK Jr. had to say about his view on abortion is terrifying. It is absolutely terrifying. Take a listen to Ben Shapiro interviewing RFK Jr. on abortion.
A pro-lifer looks at a position like a woman ought to have bodily autonomy, and they say that's completely missing the point. We're not talking about the woman's bodily autonomy, we're talking about the baby's bodily autonomy, which is obviously not only the pro-life position, but the position of many mainstream religions, including the Catholic Church. And so when you look at, you know, pro-lifers who say, okay, well, I understand that you believe it's a tragedy, but on along those same baseline biological lines, it's not just a tragedy, it's a crime against the child, because the child has an independent interest. What do you say to that?
I say that I understand that position, and I don't agree with it. I think that the solution of having the state come in and dictate choices that, you know, that the woman is making is not, that's not a good solution to me. That I have a bureaucrat making these very, very difficult moral choices. I think that choice should be between the woman, her pastor, her spiritual advisors, the people who she consults in her life, and that it's a very, very difficult decision.
So you don't believe that the child has an independent right to life, for example, at any point during the pregnancy? I mean, how far is
the right to life? Well, here's what I would say, man. There's no woman who has a baby, who gets pregnant, carries that baby for 8 months, and then decides to have an abortion for some frivolous reason. They're in that kind of case, and nobody in their right mind would do that. In those kind of cases, there's some kind of very, very rare cases where that happens. There's always some kind of extenuating circumstances that I don't feel prepared to turn that over to the government.
So Ben Shapiro is just simply asking RFK Jr., what about abortion? Doesn't the baby have any rights at all? Without using so many words, RFK Jr. responded by saying, no, the baby does not have any rights at all. The baby does not have the right to be protected. And this should terrify anybody who has ever read any history of anything that has taken place in the last 100 years anywhere in Europe or anywhere in America. And when you reach a point where people are completely seared in their consciences, and these people are running for office, and these people want to be in charge of making policy that other people like me and you have to live under, that is a very, very scary place to be. Why couldn't RFK Jr. simply say, yes, the baby has rights, and that's a great conversation, and we need to talk about that, and America needs to have that conversation? But he didn't say that. He could not say that. He could not say that a baby in the womb was a human being. Now, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, we read this. 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And when you've reached the point where you cannot answer a simple question, does a baby have the right to live? You can't answer that question, or at least say, you know what, that's a great question, we need to discuss that. RFK Jr. accidentally told the truth. He said the quiet part out loud. And that is where we are in these last days. Human life has become cheap. Abortion on demand, abortion first trimester, second trimester, third trimester, abortion on the due date, abortion after the due date. Where does it end? Well, again, if you study history, you know what you find? You find that Adolf Hitler believed in something called eugenics. And eugenics is a phony science that is dedicated to attempting to prove racial superiority of the person who is putting forth the argument. So, Adolf Hitler used eugenics for his phony Aryan race of people. Democrats, progressives, and liberals, they use eugenics as a means of population control. Bill Gates, many people are surprised to find out that when Bill Gates was a teenager and growing up wherever he grew up, and he would sit at the table with his mother and sister, and they would listen to Dad talking about the day that he had working as the head of Planned Parenthood.
One issue that really grabbed me as urgent were issues related to population, reproductive health.
But did you come to reproductive issues as an intellectual?
When I was growing up, my parents were always involved in various volunteer things. My dad was head of Planned Parenthood. And it was very controversial to be involved with that.
So Bill Gates Sr. was in charge of Planned Parenthood. Is it any wonder that Bill Gates Jr. grew up with a mindset of population reduction and population control through vaccines? Why do you think Bill Gates is doing all these different things? Why do you think he is pushing all these things that he constantly pushes? Well, Bill Gates is a eugenicist, just like RFK Jr.
CO2 is warming the planet. And the equation on CO2 is actually a very straightforward one. If you sum up the CO2 that gets emitted, that leads to a temperature increase. And that temperature increase leads to some very negative effects. The effects on the weather, perhaps worse, the indirect effects in that the natural ecosystems can't adjust to these rapid changes, and so you get ecosystem collapses. Now, the exact amount of how you map from a certain increase in CO2 to what temperature will be and where the positive feedbacks are, there's some uncertainty there, but not very much. And there's certainly uncertainty about how bad those effects will be, but they will be extremely bad. I asked the top scientists on this several times, do we really have to get down to near zero? Can't we just, you know, cut it in half or a quarter? And the answer is that until we get near to zero, the temperature will continue to rise. And so that's a big challenge. It's very different than saying, you know, we're a 12-foot high truck trying to get under a 10-foot bridge and we can just sort of squeeze under. This is something that has to get to zero. And we put out a lot of carbon dioxide every year, over 26 billion tons. For each American, it's about 20 tons. For people in poor countries, it's less than one ton. It's an average of about 5 tons for everyone on the planet. And somehow we have to make changes that will bring that down to zero. It's been constantly going up. It's only various economic changes that have even flattened it at all. So we have to go from rapidly rising to falling and falling all the way to zero. This equation has four factors, a little bit of multiplication. So you've got a thing on the left, CO2, that you want to get to zero. And that's going to be based on the number of people, the services each person's using on average, the energy on average for each service, and the CO2 being put out per unit of energy. So let's look at each one of these and see how we can get this down to zero. Probably one of these numbers is going to have to get pretty near to zero. Now that's back from high school algebra. But let's take a look. First, we've got population. Now, the world today has 6.8 billion people. That's headed up to about 9 billion. Now, if we do a really great job on new vaccines, health care, reproductive health services, we could lower that by perhaps 10 or 15%. But there we see an increase of about 1.3.
So Bill Gates wants to lower the population by 10 or 15% through vaccinations. Bill Gates is a eugenicist. His father, who ran Planned Parenthood, he was a eugenicist. And RFK Jr., he is a eugenicist. And everybody who is pro-abortion is advancing a eugenics agenda on some level. You are desiring to reduce the population of people that you deem unworthy of taking up space and breathing air on planet Earth. And this is exactly what 1 Timothy 4 is talking about. It is talking about people who give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And that's the time period that we live in. Now, speaking of doctrines of devils, Pope Francis just did something really strange that has even hardcore Vatican watchers scratching their head, attempting to come up with a reason for why he just did this. Take a listen to Pope Francis recovers the title Patriarch of the West.
Pope Francis can once again be called the Patriarch of the West. The new edition of the Vatican Yearbook lists the papal titles, names, and duties of the curial staff. The Vatican has not yet given an explanation as to why Pope Francis is reinstating this title after his predecessor stopped using it in 2006. At that time, the then Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity explained it was a difficult title to use today, since the West is no longer defined by the borders of the Roman Empire. Culturally, the West could apply as far as New Zealand, which is counterintuitive, since for ancient Rome, it was the easternmost part of the world.
So, there is a title that the popes used to use called Patriarch of the West, meaning he was the supreme leader of the West. And when we say the West, what are we talking about? We're talking about all of Europe. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about the United States of America. Absolutely. So when we say the West, we're talking about the epicenter of the world. Now, this clip just told you that term, the Patriarch of the West, it was a title that was a holdover from the Roman government, just like Pontifex Maximus. Pontifex Maximus is actually a military term, and it is one of the many things that has been retained from the government of pagan Rome and incorporated into the Roman Catholic Church. But I want you to listen to this clip again, and she says something that's really very telling.
Pope Francis can once again be called the Patriarch of the West. The new edition of the Vatican Yearbook lists the papal titles, names, and duties of the curial staff. The Vatican has not yet given an explanation as to why Pope Francis is reinstating this title after his predecessor stopped using it in 2006. At that time, the then Pontifical Council for Promoting Christian Unity explained it was a difficult title to use today, since the West is no longer defined by the borders of the Roman Empire.
She says it's a hard title to use in the 21st century because the West is no longer defined by the borders of the Roman Empire. So why is he bringing the title back? Why has Pope Francis reclaimed this title, Patriarch of the West? Is it because the world is realigning itself for the revived Roman Empire that the Bible talks about? Is Pope Francis putting things in place for the revived Roman Empire that John saw in the book of Revelation. Revelation 17:1. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Verse 3, so he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. These are political kingdoms. How do I know that? Look down in verse 15. Revelation 17:15. And he saith unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. And the 10 nations which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God hath put in their hearts to fulfill his will and to agree and give their kingdom unto the beast until the words of God shall be fulfilled. And the woman which thou sawest is that great city which reigneth over the kings of the earth. So Pope Francis has reclaimed a title that was in effect when the West was determined by the boundaries of the Roman Empire. Well, anybody with the King James Bible and the Spirit of God inside them can put two and two together and get four and understand why he is reclaiming this title. And he is reclaiming it because, as we have said many, many times, and we continue to say, this world is preparing itself for Antichrist. That's what this world is preparing itself to do. Now, yesterday, I want to talk about this for a second. Remember a number of years ago when Kanye West got saved, so-called, and he released this album called Jesus is King? And remember when everybody got all excited that Kanye West had gotten saved? Well, last week he announced he's getting ready to launch a porn channel. And he's going to have high-quality pornography available, which to me is a... everything he does is pornography. Absolutely. But he's going to have an actual pornography channel. And not only that, he is highly anti-Semitic. And when he claimed to have gotten saved a couple of years ago, I looked into his claims, and I don't see anywhere at all that he has a testimony of biblical salvation. He had things that he said, and he certainly paid a fair amount of lip service about the Lord as he was just coincidentally releasing his album called Jesus is King. And let's see, what year did he do that? He did that just 1 month before Bill Gates held Event 209. Wow. That is crazy. That is crazy. Charlie on the highway is asking, what about this thing that Russell Brand said yesterday about his getting baptized? And I'm going to play that clip for you in just 1 minute. But I just want to set the table first so that you can understand that when these things happen, you have to have discernment. When I said that I didn't believe that Kanye West actually got saved, I didn't say it because of his past. I didn't say it because of his actions. I didn't say it for any other reason than I could not find a testimony of getting saved. For example, if you were to ask me about my testimony, how did I get saved? I could immediately give you the long or short version of how I got saved on March 14th of 1991. And I could go into great detail and tell you the scripture that I was reading, John 3:16. I could tell you everything leading up to that, the moment it happened, and the things that happened shortly after that. And I love to hear people's testimonies of how they got saved. To me, that's very encouraging to hear how God saves people in a variety of different ways. Now, Russell Brand, I'm not going to talk about his movie career. I don't want to talk about the accusations made against him last year. I don't want to talk about some of the things that he said or some of the things that he's done. I'm not concerned with any of that. He made a big show of getting baptized yesterday. He has millions of followers on social media. So, very excitedly, I went to his Twitter page today so I could hear his testimony of salvation that led to his baptism. We all know that baptism doesn't save you in the church age. You can get baptized 7 days a week, and you're no closer to getting saved than you were when you started. Salvation is not baptism, and baptism is not salvation. So, I went to his channel today. I clicked on the video. I was excited to hear about his testimony. And this is what I heard.
Yesterday, I got baptized, and it was an incredible, profound experience. And many of you will have had your own experiences of baptism and will therefore know what I'm talking about. Many aspects of it were very intimate and personal. The truth is this, as a person that has in the past taken many, many substances and always been disappointed with their inability to deliver the kind of tranquility and peace and even transcendence that I always felt I've been looking for, something occurred in the process of baptism that was incredible, overwhelming, literally overwhelming, because I was obviously underwater and it was the River Thames at some points. So I felt changed, transitioned. Now, of course, even though it's been less than 24 hours, in the interim period, I've already felt like sort of irritation. I've got 3 children, I've got a job, I've got challenges, I still live in the world, but I feel as if some new resource within me has switched on. So many of your comments have been so beautiful and encouraging, and I really appreciate it. And also even the cynicism, I understand, because some people will just see me as a celebrity. I don't see me as a celebrity, because I was me when I was a little boy. I was me when I was a junkie. I was me when I was poor. I've been me in all of the different phases. But I recognise that anything in this terrain, in the sort of social media world, could be exploited and utilised. For me, I've made the decision. And I know what the decision is. I've made it for myself, and I pray that it will be relevant to my family, in particular my children. My wife's Catholic, you know, she's already made her own choices in this life, including this one. This is new for me. I'm learning, and I will make mistakes. But this is my path now, and I already feel incredibly blessed, relieved, nourished, held. It's been an incredible experience. I wish I could tell you exactly about it, because there were amazing individuals involved. There were incredible and bizarre incidents that took place that felt serendipitous and laden. You know, I do a show every day. I'll be talking about this stuff in the show because it's part of my mission and it's part of my ministry and it's part of my service. This is new to me and it's a joy to me. And I know that I'm not expected to be perfect, and I know that that's not something I'll be able to deliver. Those of you that have embraced me, I'm so grateful. I can't tell you how happy I feel and how relieved I feel. But as you know, if you know, my resources are coming from somewhere else and someone else now. Thank you so much for your support. Let's keep doing this together, or certainly I'm just going to do what I'm doing. I love you so much. I'm so grateful to be surrendered in Christ. See you all soon. I'm doing the show a little later. Come watch that if you want to.
So that clip went on for 2 minutes and 46 seconds. He doesn't mention the name of Jesus Christ one single time. And just a couple of weeks ago, he was encouraging people to pray the rosary. So I submit to you that Russell Brand, how can you get baptized and not mention the name of Jesus Christ one single time? How is that even possible? It's not possible. And that has nothing to do with being a babe in Christ, or he hasn't studied the Bible yet. Kanye West is a deceiver. Russell Brand is a deceiver. And if you believe that these people are getting saved because they are just giving you talking points, baptism doesn't save anybody. Now, at the very end of that talk, that video, he talks about his being surrendered to Christ. Well, which Christ? Have you ever studied the Bible? Do you know that there are more than one Christ in the Bible? Do you know what that word means? Christ, it means anointed one, is what it means. Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God. He is the anointed with a capital A. But there is another one that has been anointed to do an end times job. There is another Christ that is coming. That Christ is Antichrist. So, my red flag radar launches every time I hear somebody talking about the sweet spirit of Christ, or let's all be one in Christ, without saying the word Jesus Christ. Did you know that Lucifer was a Christ? He was an anointed one? Now, you might say to me, hey, brother, you're just making that up. Well, turn to the book of Ezekiel. Turn to chapter 28. Turn to chapter 28 in the book of Ezekiel. And look down in verse 11. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, and say unto him, Thus saith the Lord God, Thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardius, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald and the carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. Lucifer was not the anointed one. He was an anointed one. And he is going to come as the Christ. But it's just not going to be Jesus Christ. So, do I think that Russell Brand got saved? No, I don't. I think that Russell Brand got baptized. And baptism does not and cannot save you. It is impossible. Now, for all of those people who got mad at me 5 years ago for calling out Kanye West as a deceiver, and you look at what he has done in the last 5 years, all the damage that he has done. He is anti-Jewish. He is anti-Semitic. He is anti-Israel. He hates the Jewish people so badly that he was willing to lose an endorsement deal with Adidas worth tens of millions of dollars because he hated the Jewish people so much. You know that old expression, you put your money where your mouth is? Well, he did. He made those comments about the Jews and about Israel, and he lost that entire deal with Adidas worth, I think it was worth like $45 million. And he knew that he was going to lose it when he opened his mouth. But he hates the Jewish people so much that he is willing to lose $45 million just to insult them. Well, I put Russell Brand, for different reasons, in the same category. He has no testimony of salvation. None of any kind. Zero. Baptism is not a testimony of salvation. At least, last time I picked up that King James Bible, that's what it told me. Don't be deceived by the deceivers. And before we get off that topic, just turn to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24, what did Jesus say would be the first thing to happen in the end times? And Jesus answered, Matthew 24, 4, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. They're going to call themselves the Christ, just not Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus is saying in Matthew 24, 5. Stay away from the people who talk about the Christ. Anybody who knows Jesus Christ calls him Jesus. And that's just the way it is. All right, we have a lot more to talk about, but before we get there, I just want to share with you this amazing update. I shared it on the Bible study last night. This is so exciting. If you remember the Wooster Bible Church in Wooster, Ohio, and last year we sent them 1,000 King James Bibles. 1,000 King James Bibles. And a preacher by the name of Brother David Spurgeon took a bunch of those Bibles to the Richland Correctional Institution, and he preached, and the people from the church handed out some of those Bibles, and a bunch of men came forward to get saved. And that was a blessing. That happened last year. You know what happened last week? A week ago, Saturday, they took the remaining 17 cases of those Bibles that we sent them. Brother David Spurgeon, he's there once again. And a group of men from the church, Pastor Joe and a bunch of people, went with those Bibles and Brother Spurgeon. They handed out those 17 cases of Bibles. Brother Spurgeon preached, and 10 men came forward to get saved. And that is an unbelievable blessing. 10 men saved last week at the Richland Correctional Institution in Ohio. And 17 cases of our Bibles. That's 360 Bibles. 17 cases of our Bibles were handed out. And this is why we have the free Bible program. This is why we have Bibles Behind Bars. This is why we do what God has called us to do. Because even with all the fakery and the trickery and the phoniness that is taking place in this world, even with all this end times deception that's going on, God is still raising up people like all of us at Now the End Begins, and He puts on our hearts to hand out Bibles and New Testaments and scripture portions and gospel tracts. And people in jails and prisons are getting saved. What a blessing that that is. If you would like to help us to do that, please go to BiblesBehindBars.com and click on the donate link. We can only do this with your help, with your support, with your prayers, and with your generous financial support. Paper has gone up, Bibles have gone up, shipping has gone up. But we're continuing to stand in the gap and send out Bibles. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Just a reminder, in 3 weeks, it's going to be time for the 2024 NTEB camp meeting. This is going to be the first camp meeting that we have ever had that is 100% focused on jail and prison ministry. Chaplain Steve Harrington from the Ader County Jail in Stillwell, Oklahoma, he's going to preach. Brother Aaron McMahon, he's going to come with his wife, Teresa, and their daughter, Destiny. They have CPR missions out of Tennessee. And Brother Aaron is going to preach about the things that they encounter on the streets when they share the gospel. And Brother Roy Bell of the Open Door Bible Baptist Church in Las Vegas, Nevada. He sent me a picture the other day, and he is so very excited about coming. He is unbelievably excited about coming. And let me just see if I can... Hold on here. I want to put this picture into the chat room. What a blessing that Roy Bell is, and how excited that he is to come here. And he has already left Las Vegas, and he is preaching in the Midwest right now, and he is gradually working his way over to us. And I can't wait to meet him. I am so excited about that. And I am more excited to hear what God has laid on his heart when he preaches about jail ministry from the inside of jail. If you have a heart to see inmates get saved, if you have a heart for jail and prison ministry, and you should, because the Bible verse that Jesus started his ministry on, do you know what it is? If you were doing Bible trivia and somebody said, okay, this question is for all the marbles. What was the Bible verse that Jesus started his ministry on? Could you answer that question in 5 seconds or less? Luke chapter 4, verse 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Esaias, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." It's going to be our most ambitious camp meeting weekend ever. It is going to be 100% about jail and prison ministry, and how you can take that revival fire back to where you live and get involved with jail and prison ministry and see people get saved right in your town, in your city, in your state, wherever you're from. And we're going to give you the tools that you need to get involved with jail and prison ministry. And one more time, if you'd like to help us to send these Bibles out, go to BiblesBehindBars.com and click on the donate button. All right, let's continue with today's podcast. All right, we covered that. How about this? Every year in Washington, D.C., they do something called the White House Correspondents' Dinner. And usually, the party that's in power, they take jabs at everybody else. That's usually how it goes. But this year, Joe Biden is in such deep and serious trouble that even though the Democrats control everything, they control the media, they control the government, they control literally everything. Well, they didn't take a whole lot of shots at their enemies. They took shots at Joe Biden. And, well, I'll just let it play, and you'll hear why they did this.
Good evening, everyone. I'm Colin Jost, and I'll be delivering the Republican response. Thank you, Kelly, for that very kind introduction. Mr. President, Dr. Biden, Vice President Harris, Doug. Doug, as you can tell from all the comments about my wife, I'm also used to being the second gentleman. I have to admit, it's not easy following President Biden. I mean, it's not always easy following what he's saying, like... But before I begin tonight, can we just acknowledge how refreshing it is to see a President of the United States at an event that doesn't begin with a bailiff saying, "All rise." And I would like to point out, it's after 10 p.m. Sleepy Joe is still awake. While Donald Trump has spent the past week falling asleep in court every morning. Though Fox News said he was just being anti-woke. It's also wonderful to be back in Washington. I love being in Washington. The last time I was in D.C., I left my cocaine at the White House. Luckily, the president was able to put it to good use for his State of the Union.
So here you have far-left liberal comedian Colin Jost. Yeah, he took a couple of shots at Donald Trump. But if you listen carefully, what he's doing is he's deflecting all the legitimate things that are wrong with Joe Biden. He can't walk up steps. He can't speak so that people can understand him. They still haven't solved the mystery of the cocaine in the White House that obviously belonged to his son, Hunter. And so they use the correspondence dinner as a way to reassure the Democratic Party. Yeah, he may be half out of his mind and he can't climb up steps and he has to wear special shoes because he's constantly falling down and he has no idea what he's saying. He can't even read a teleprompter. But you know what? That's our Joe and he's okay. Everybody have a good laugh.
I'm kidding, of course. The president doesn't call it cocaine. He calls it high-speed rail. By the way, can you blame the guy for turning to cocaine? He must be exhausted, orchestrating four separate trials against his rival, rigging the Super Bowl, and gearing up to steal a second election. Wow.
They didn't laugh at that part, did they? They didn't think that was very funny. And these are all Democrats in the audience, most of them. You see what they're doing? This election is going to be the worst election, the most dangerous election that we have ever had. November, it's just gonna melt down when you get to the month of November, it's going to be really bad.
By the way, the Trump's two attacks on President Biden are that he's a senile old man and a criminal mastermind.
You see that? Again, taking all these things, is Joe Biden a senile old man? Yes, he is. Is Barack Obama the person who is the power behind Biden's presidency, the one who is calling the shots? Is he in control of all those things? He absolutely is. He absolutely is.
I'm like, I think you gotta pick one. Also, it's not like Trump himself is young and sharp. I'm not saying both candidates are old, but you know Jimmy Carter is out there thinking, I could maybe win this thing. He's only 99. There's an election 6 extremely long months from now. So let me see if I can summarize where this race stands at this moment. The Republican candidate for president owes $500 million in fines for bank fraud and is currently spending his days farting himself awake during a porn star hush money trial, and the race is tied? Nothing makes sense anymore. The candidate, who is a famous New York City playboy, took abortion rights away, and the guy who's trying to give you your abortion rights back is an 80-year-old Catholic. How does that make sense? People keep asking if our lives are better than they were 4 years ago. Of course they are. 4 years ago, we didn't have online sports gambling. What more do you need? That's probably what's keeping the economy afloat. Online gambling and Taylor Swift. Without those, we'd be in a recession right now. The problem is, people are always going to compare your first term.
All right, so that is what they said at the Washington Correspondents' Dinner over the weekend. Now, if you were one of those people that purchased our NTEB 2024 calendar, you know what you're going to see when you turn to the month of November? Well, for those of you who have purchased the calendar, you know the graphic that we used to illustrate what we feel the month of November is going to be like. And I just posted that image into the chat room. When the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Proverbs 29:2. And that's just a little 2 cents worth of a prediction that we have made about the month of November and the things that will be taking place. They're going to have to do something bad to Donald Trump, and let me tell you why. CNN is now admitting that Joe Biden is losing in the polls to Donald Trump. This is why Trump is undergoing all these trials. This is why he's on trial right now. This is why they're prosecuting him, but they don't prosecute other people for the same crimes, so-called. CNN admitted this morning that the American people are very unhappy with the American economy. Take a listen to this from this morning on CNN.
As you know, Americans don't assess the economy through the economic indicators and data that we all report on constantly. They assess it through how they feel about it. 34% currently approve of Biden's handling of the economy, so significantly lower than his overall job approval, 66% disapprove. And when you ask, how is the economy going today, what's your rating of it, 30% of Americans say it's good, 70% of Americans say it's poor. I just want to note here that the economy is overwhelmingly the most important issue for voters. This is not insignificant. And so while there are a ton of other issues that we discuss, and even issues that the president performs worse on, the Israel-Hamas war, immigration, the economy is still front and center for people. So this is something you're going to hear Biden talk about day in and day out to try to boost those numbers up as well.
So 66% of the American people polled over the weekend in a CNN poll, which means they're going after nothing but progressives, liberals, and Democrats. 66% of everybody does not like the economy that Joe Biden has created. Take a listen to this from Fox News.
Shows Donald Trump ahead, certainly on a number of questions. This one in particular, the survey shows that 55% believe Trump's presidency was a success. 61% say Biden's has been a failure. Overall, Trump has a 6% lead. And guess what? That's from CNN, so you know that had to hurt. Charlie, and talking of hurt, Charlie Hurt joins me now. Charlie, these polls, I mean, clearly good news for Donald Trump. Question is, can he hold the momentum to November?
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think that it's important. The fact that it's from CNN makes it even a more bitter pill for the Biden administration. And of course, those numbers are outside of the margin of error, which is very good. And I always caution against reading too much into polls at this point in an election. But I think that those success failure rates really are important. You've got Donald Trump plus 11% meaning 11% more people think it's his administration was a success, and Joe Biden is underwater by 23 points. That's devastating, especially when you consider the fact that both of their administrations were lined up back to back, and people can you know have a clear memory of what it was like. But to me, the most devastating number in the entire poll was the number that shows that public support for Joe Biden's handling of the war in Gaza is underwater by 43%, meaning that 71% of Americans think that Joe Biden's handling of that has been a failure. And when you stop and think about it, Joe Biden has been in Washington for 50 years. His greatest area of expertise is foreign policy. And on foreign policy, the most important foreign policy issue going on right now today, 71% of Americans think he is a failure. That is a stunning, stunning rebuke.
71% of Americans do think that Joe Biden has been a complete and total failure as president. And it's probably a lot higher than that. But as we've told you many times before, Joe Biden is not president. I refer to him as the pretend president. And the only reason why I call him the pretend president is because he is not running the show. It is my firmly held belief that the Joe Biden presidency is a veneer for this.
I've said this before. People would ask me, knowing what you know now, do you wish like you had a third term? And I used to say, you know what, if I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony, I'd be fine with that, because I found the work fascinating. I mean, I write about even on my worst days, I found puzzling out, you know, these big, complicated, difficult issues, especially if you were working with some great people, to be professionally really satisfied.
So there was Barack Obama telling you how he would have a third term. He would be the man behind the curtain, so to speak. Well, Joe Biden is the curtain. This is why the Democrats wanted somebody who has early onset dementia. This is why the Democrats want somebody who can barely put three sentences together. because that type of person is perfect as a front man. And I believe that for once, Obama told you the truth in that clip that I just played for you. And Charlie on the highway just a couple of minutes ago said, remember how bad the economy was during the Obama years? And it was really bad. And then remember how it got really good during the Trump years? And remember how it got really bad again during the Biden years? Well, this is Barack Obama's third term. And he's not here to give us prosperity. He is here to pull the plug on everything. The Bible says that the thief cometh not but to seek and to kill and destroy. And Obama, to me, is a perfect type of Antichrist. One more thing. This just came across my desk. Do you remember last year we published an article about people who were dying after receiving the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine? And we have been very, very heavily focused on warning people about the mRNA vaccine. We have urged people to not take it for any reason. Don't take the vaccines. Don't take the boosters. They cause cytothrombopenia. They cause pericarditis and myocarditis. They cause strokes, heart attacks, blood clots, and cancer. And last year, we told you about a woman named Lisa Shaw in England who died almost immediately after receiving the AstraZeneca COVID vaccine. And on her death certificate, it says, increased intracranial pressure, thrombosis of intracranial venous sinuses with secondary hemorrhage, and vaccine-induced immune thrombotic thrombocytopenia. I can barely say that. Vaccine-induced immune thrombotic thrombocytopenia. And the people who examined her corpse said it was directly related to the AstraZeneca vaccine. Well, I got this headline just moments ago. AstraZeneca admits to a rare deadly side effect of the COVID jab as lawsuits mount. AstraZeneca has admitted that the COVID-19 vaccine that it produced caused a deadly blood clotting condition. And this admission is exposing the pharmaceutical giant to millions of dollars in lawsuits brought on by those who were injured or killed as a result of the jab. And AstraZeneca says in rare cases, people who received their mRNA vaccine came down with something called thrombocytopenia syndrome. Thrombosis with thrombocytopenia syndrome, or TTS. And they are now starting to admit, and the reason why they are admitting is because the dead bodies are stacking up, and the loved ones who are left behind are outraged, and people have been crippled, and people have had strokes and heart attacks and blood clots, and it can't be hidden any longer. This is what we told you 4 years ago. We told you in 2020, before a single person had been injected with anything, we said, don't take it. It's bad. And here we are 4 years later, and AstraZeneca forced to admit that, yes, people got this condition after receiving our vaccine, and it killed them. We told you that was coming, and the vast majority of NTEB listeners heeded that warning, did not get the vaccine, did not get the booster, and they are very, very glad that they did not receive those injections. I'm very glad that I did not receive that injection. If you took the vaccine, if you took the booster shot, there are things that you can do to increase your level of health, get active with your own health, care about your condition, and strengthen your body from the inside out with nutrition and vitamins and minerals and vegetable juice and fruit juice and just high quality protein, and strengthen your body. You don't have to die from that stuff. Strengthen your immune system. Strengthen your body. Make yourself stronger. Or you could just take it to the Lord and say, Lord, help me. My Bible says, Lord, save me, and immediately Jesus. That's what my Bible says in Matthew 14:30-31. And with that, we have come to the end of our time for today. I thank you so much, as always, for being part of the NTEB Global Family of Bible Believers across America and around the world. Lord willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow, Tuesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, for another Rightly Dividing King James Bible study. Have a great day, everybody.
I wonder if you know him. Don't try to mislead me. Do you know my King? The Bible says he's a King of the Jews. He's a King of righteousness. He's a King of the ages. He's a King of heaven. He's a King of glory. He's a King of kings, and he is a Lord of lords. Now that's my King. Well, no barriers can hinder him from pouring out his blessing. No means of measure can define his limitless love. No far-seeing telescope can bring into visibility the coastline of his shoreless supply. Well, he's enduringly strong. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. And he's impartially merciful. That's my King. He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented. He's preeminent. Well, he's the loftiest idea in literature. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the miracle of the age. He's the superlative of everything good. He's the only one able to supply all of our needs simultaneously. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He delivers the captives. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he beautifies the meek. Do you know him? Do you know my King? Well, my King is a King of knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a gateway of glory. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. His promise is sure. His life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. His yoke is easy, and his burden is light. Do you know him? Well, he's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. I'm trying to tell you, the heavens of heaven cannot contain him, let alone a man explain him. You can't get him out of your mind. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, Pharisees couldn't stand him.
But they found out they couldn't stop it. Pilots couldn't find any fault in it. The witnesses couldn't get their testimonies to agree. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him, and the grave couldn't hold him. That's my king. He always has been, and he always will be. I'm talking about he had no predecessor, and he'll have no successor. There was nobody before him, and there'll be nobody after him. You can't even teach him, and he's not going to resign. That's my king. Yeah! Do you know him? He's the master of the mighty. He's the captain of the conquerors. He's the head of the heroes. He's the leader of the legislators. He's the overseer of the overcomers. He's the governor of governors. He's the prince of princes. He's the king of kings. And he's the Lord of lords.